All right, folks, we're back. Second hour of the American Awakening. Phone lines are open, 800-313-9443 throughout the program. Thank you for all the previous callers. We're on with Frank in Winnipeg. Go ahead and continue your thought, Frank.
Sure. Like I say, go to rents.com. Check out that breakdown on Amelia Earhart. Number three, Podesta for the first time confirmed that those were his emails that were brought out. He's never confirmed it before, and things are about, Trump's doing it again. He's drawing them out, and he's going to be after this guy. Number four, your bit on the mercenary forces is spot on. The key is they avoid, the U.S. government avoids, being nailed by the International Criminal Court or any other international court for war crimes in starting all these insurgencies in all these countries. Look at what went on in Philippines. All of a sudden, ISIS showed up. Where'd they come from?
That's a good question, isn't it? Duterte, as soon as he decided that he wasn't going to let the CIA run the drugs out of there,
bingo,
ISIS shows up.
You're bang on tonight. You're batting 1,000, man. Keep it loading out of the park.
You're doing a bang-up job. All right.
Thank you.
Appreciate it, man. Yeah, and you know what's funny about that? I was just scrambling around. I had a busy day today, folks. I was just scrambling around, you know, just kind of piecemealing, hobnobbing a show here, just jumping around a little bit, which I am doing. You know, there's an old saying on in the network behind the scenes. Sometimes the most unprepared shows are the best shows. So I don't know. But anyway, I'm going to jump back to this because we're talking about Podesta and everybody's got their panties in a bunch. But Chucky Schumer's in the mix as well. I'll get to him in a little bit. But back to the terms of the healthcare thing, there's not much meanness in either bill, the House or the Senate, but rather a great deal of natural and unavoidable floundering because the national government has no business, no competence, or money to be involved in any form of universal medical care, save for some assistance through Social Security for senior citizens and the disabled. Now, as always, anything the national government gives away in healthcare services will be inordinately expensive, bankrupting, and generally ineffective. But I am in the minority on this issue, and so must ultimately acquiesce in the madness that contends a national health care program is a right. Okay, there is, however, a way to find funding for some of the expenses of the looming health care debacle by identifying some of the true meanness the national government has inflicted on its citizenry, eradicating it, and using the savings to help pay for health care. Let me suggest, Mr. President, that you first take to the television and tell the American people the absolute truth. Namely, the whole healthcare debate is taking place in the framework of America's complete bankruptcy, a situation in which there is no room for new expenditures, especially of the unpredictable kind involved in healthcare. If the Congress, the Senate, and you, Mr. President, are intent on saddling our posterity with monstrous additional expenditures, well, perhaps that debt can be partially paid for by cutting government meanness. Now, let me list a few of the mean, even cruel, policies and programs of the national government that merit annihilation. Number one, foreign aid. Even as the nation now sits sinking in bankruptcy, the 535 members of the Congress, with your signature, continue to give tens of billions of taxpayer dollars to foreigners. There is not one cent that is given to foreigners in economic, healthcare, educational, or military aid that could not be far better spent at home. The unutterable meanness inherent in the sending hundreds of billions of dollars overseas to foreigners since 1945 has been an absolute disgrace, considering the assistance that money could have rendered to Americans who are hungry, sick, unemployed, and at risk from antiquated infrastructure. That is, Mr. Trump, is truly a severe and utterly premeditated form of government meanness. Now, number two, charitable deductions. As you and the Congress draft a tax reform bill, there should be major changes made in regard to what kind of charitable donations are eligible for a tax deduction. Now, no one wishes to discourage charity or to put a roadblock in the path of those who want to donate, but it is an insanity to give tax deductions to people who donate to charities and other organizations that spend all or part of their income overseas. All charity deductions deny revenue to the national government, and this loss of revenue ought to be fully welcomed when those funds are spent at home to help Americans. There is, however, a spectacular meanness in the depriving the bankrupt national government of additional desperately needed revenue by giving tax deductions to U.S. citizens who donate to foreign charities or to domestic charities that spend their money abroad and thereby deprive the national government of tax revenue needed to assist the Republic and its citizenry. When reforming the tax code, Mr. President, do not permit charitable deductions for donations by individuals and corporations that are intended for use outside the United States. The money donated to the Catholic Church, for example, should be deductible only if it is spent in the United States. The Catholic Church and similar Protestant, Jewish, and Muslim institutions should be made to report their total annual income and where it was spent, and deductions for donors should only be allowed for that part of their income spent in America. The same rules should be applied to donations to the World Wildlife Fund, the Medicine Sans Frontieres, Save the Children, and any other charity or a non-government organization foundation, or a religious institution that is based in the United States and sends funds derived from tax-deductible donations overseas. Again, a charitable deduction should be allowed to a donor only if the donation is spent entirely in the United States, ending the ability of Americans to earn tax deductions for donating to their favorite foreign projects, their causes, their religions, their organizations, their people, and their governments, Mr. President. Well, this will erase another meanness that has been imposed on Americans by the national government. Number three, end U.S. participation in the Afghan war. Now, I know that's almost impossible because think of all the drugs that were running out of there, okay, and all that money that would dry up if we didn't run it out of there. This war is irretrievably lost, Mr. President. Only your generals are delusional enough to think they can win a war. They, Bush and Obama, never tended to win. At this point, it cannot be won by 10,000 more U.S. troops or 500,000 more U.S. troops or, for that matter, indeed, our present presence in Afghanistan accelerates its complete destabilization and causes increased Islamic militancy there and in the region. Withdraw all of the troops, Mr. President, and end all varieties of aid to the Afghan government. Pull out all U.S. civilian officials and the contractors, which are three times as many as the soldiers, and destroy all U.S.-built military facilities there so that they cannot be used by the Islamists. You know, like when we left Iraq, when we left all the tanks and everything and the guns and all that stuff and maybe a few Toyotas and the ISIS picked them up, and Al-Qaeda, well, they changed their name, but whatever. Or by the Russians or the Chinese when they inevitably move military forces into Afghanistan. There is only one task that must be accomplished before this complete evacuation. As you know, Mr. President, there is a vast hue and cry across the United States about the opioid epidemic, which is, as I understand it, fueled by synthetic drugs, opium products refined from poppies, you know, like they make over there in Afghanistan with all our soldiers guarding them, or a combination of both. And it's becoming a prevalent problem over here, especially in Arizona. Okay, and where's it coming from? Well, it's coming from Afghanistan. And who's guarding it? Well, the soldiers are guarding it. Interesting, isn't it? Oh, and let's not forget the Philippines when Duterte's over there telling the CIA he's not going to let them run the drugs out of there. And boom, just like Frank in Winnipeg said, ISIS shows up. Now, it is the loathsome, indefensible truth that the United States government and its military have occupied Afghanistan, the world's largest producer of heroin since late 2001, and have not permanently destroyed the Afghan heroin industry and as many of its workers, their smugglers, their abettors, the leaders and leaders as possible. There is no better example of the national government's rampant and deliberate meanness towards its own citizens than to keep reinforcing with dollars, with lives, with limbs, a long-lost war and to allow U.S. generals and diplomats to blithely refuse to, first, destroy the main producer of the heroin that is ravaging this republic, and second, to make the ground in which the poppies are grown unusable for centuries for agriculture, just as the Romans did in Carthage. Number four, republic killing programs. Although the following examples of national government meanness are probably the smallest in terms of dollars spent, ending them would terminate what are perhaps the greatest sources of deliberate meanness in the national government's behavior. The for-profit murder of infants, lies portrayed as news, blatant ideological indoctrination, and the intentional destruction of the Republic's history, the English language primacy, the culture, equal treatment under the law, and Christian faith. End this deliberate national government meanness, Mr. President, by permanently defunding National Public Radio, the public broadcasting system, the National Endowment for the Arts, the National Endowment for the Humanities, the Department of Education, and Planned Parenthood. The allocations of taxpayer money to these organizations. Who is that? Oh, okay, I got a caller. Just a second. I'll be right with you. The allocations of taxpayer money to these organizations have largely destroyed American culture, reduced several generations of students to mindless, lazy, leftist automatons, and murdered nearly 60,000 or 60 million young Americans. And NPR, PBS, and the Department of Education are nothing more than recruitment tools for the Democratic Party, the globalists and their fascist goals, the Nazi-like climate fanatics, the airheaded advocates of the delights and mobility of sexual perversion, and the anti-religion left and their echoes in the media. The NEA funds artists bent on attacking the United States, the Christian religion, the Republic's history, the Constitution and the Union it created, the primary importance of the rule of law, and common decency. Then NEA has made a largely pornographic and racist crap hole of depravity from what was once American art. And likewise, the NEH has helped to produce an educational system that is seeking to destroy the republic and replace it with minority rule, the end of free speech and self-defense, and the absolute rule of the society and culture eating maggots known as diversity and multiculturalism. Wow, there's a mouthful. Okay, hold on a minute. I'm going to take a break with that, take a phone call. Let's go to, who is it? Fred, Michigan. Fred, you're on with Michael. How you doing?
Hey there, Michael.
Howdy. Yes.
Yeah, the spending, I often wondered that myself, why it continues the foreign American taxpayer corporate welfare subsidies. And maybe you recall this, I think it was 2014. It might have been the omnibus spending bill. Might have been a direct military authorization spending bill. Let's see, $800 billion for the reconstruction of Afghanistan, $800 billion for the reconstruction of Iraq, and $400 billion directly to your, you know, everyone's best, most favored ally and friend, Israel. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at the names of the, what I can only describe because of Michael Hoffman in his scholarly works, Judaism Discovered, Judaism Strange Gods, Secret Societies and Psychological Warfare, and of course Tex Mars, Holy Serpent of the Jews, etc. These are totally satanic. They Lark calls them communitarian. Yeah, they're Bolsheviks, but they're satanic. They're criminally insane. They're satanic, insane, satanic criminals, and because the Talmud, which the likes of Jared Kushner and his beloved Ivanka, they spent election day and night, by the way, at the entombment of Menachem Mendel Schneerson, the Grand Rebbe, I guess of New York City, and this guy, who was a Shabbat Lubavitch Luberdicker, just like all of these. In fact, John read off a roster of them. I don't know when it was. Maybe January. Maybe whatever. They're all Shabbat Lubavitch members. Okay. The head rabbi in D.C., you've ever wore Levi jeans? Well, here's Rabbi Shabbat Lubavitch Luberdicker, Levi Shemtov. Arm in arm with the previous president, and he's boasting about the fact that he has control of the entire congressional body. He's got the names, phone numbers, addresses of everybody there, even down to the janitorial staff, all the aides, etc., etc. In 2004, See, I'm bringing this up because I'm thinking, how can we fight back? How can we combat this ultimate satanic Talmudic evil that permeates every cubic centimeter of this country? In 2004, FBI revealed a report, disclosed a report that they had done on AIPAC, American-Israeli Public Affairs Committee, okay? 65,000 members strong, a vast spy and terror network. Why terror? Because Sionim. They have secret covert operatives all over, in all walks of life, man. And they have, like Lark calls it, the law of Mosher, and there's another one, Omerta, Mosher, and something else. And by the way, the Italian mafia was Jewish. Okay? The Vatican Treasury, according to the Jewish Encyclopedia in 1905, is owned by the Rothschild Bank of England, the Vatican Treasury. And then you got the Jesuits, the Society of Jesus. Ignatius Loyola was a crypto Jew. He was a Murano Jew, or as I say, a Murano Jew, a Talmudic Jew.
Okay, so let me stop. Okay, so I've let you go on now for about 6 minutes. Okay, so give me your solution.
Okay, all right. So the solution, thank you. This guy, Werner Sombart, some financial guru, back in 1911, authored a book, The Jews in Modern Capitalism. And he says that everything monetary economic fiduciary originates with the Talmud. So I think you have a brilliant mind. You have a great, great presentation and ability to communicate. People like you and Lark and a few others, we should all get our hands on the Talmud and start studying the Talmud to learn what their dirty secrets are.
Well, all right. First of all, I'm going to stop you there. Get me a copy of the Talmud, and I'll read it. All right. I've never been able to obtain one. So you know,
you're right. You know what? And you're right, because Michael Hoffman, the Talmud is like a huge encyclopedia. It's not one book.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So it's impossible. I misspoke. I'm glad you clarified that. How do we fight back? I'll tell you what, the Lutherans, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, and the Presbyterian, some Presbyterian group, I think it's USA, and then there's a Methodist group, it's called, Boycott, Divest, Sanction. Nikki Haley, the previous governor of South Carolina, is the U.S. ambassador to the UN, and I heard this on NPR, I think it was January, maybe February, whatever. She's making a speech about how the boycott, divest, sanction entities, whether they're church organizations or anything else, they need to be brought to justice, she said, words to that effect. Well, what I say is we need to boycott everything that has a kosher label on it. Don't go to any movie theaters.
All right, I got to go to break. I've given you 7 minutes, man. I got to go to break. I'll catch up with you later. We'll be back in three. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. I want to get back on point here. See you on the other side.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's I-C-A-N-G-E-T, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host. Before I get back to this and talk about Planned Parenthood, let's go to Pat in Arkansas. Pat, you're on with Michael. How you doing, girl?
Well, fine. How are you? I think I'm losing my voice. I'll just give you a few seconds. I just sent you an email. It's about 4 minute YouTube on Cynthia McKinney explaining why she was squeezed out of Congress. She wouldn't toe the line and do what Israel told her to do. And it explains the pledge. And every member of Congress has to sign on to that or they will not get the funds to be reelected. So, you know, the whole bunch of them are all locked up with allegiance to a foreign country. And Nancy Pelosi takes her orders from them. And that's the reason we got Obamacare, the health care bill. That was a disaster. So I thought I'd just throw that 2 cents worth in.
Well, thank you. And I'll tell you what, you said it's about a 4 minute clip. If I can, I will get it up on the air before the program's over. How's that?
Yeah, it's a pledge. They all have to sign it. They're forced to sign it.
Okay.
A pledge to APEC.
Okay. I'm going to shoot it over to my board operator right now. And, hold on a second. And I'll have him put it up there before the show's over. Okay. Hello.
Yeah, that YouTube video, I think it's about 4 minutes long, and she's explaining why she was squeezed out of Congress.
Okay.
She wouldn't toe the line and do what they ordered her to do.
Okay.
I'll let you go.
All right.
And have a good evening.
All right, thank you.
Weekend,
hold on
okay?
Just a second, folks. I got a private call here. Just a second. Hello.
Sophia, I'm on the air right now. Can I call you back?
Oh, yeah, sure.
All right, I'll call you back. Bye.
Sorry about that, folks. That was Sophia Smallstorm. Anyway, okay, so getting back to this. Yeah, Mike, I just shot you over that. I'm shooting you over that clip right now. Go ahead and set it up, and then we'll get to it, hopefully, before the program is over. But let me get back to this Planned Parenthood thing. Planned Parenthood, of course, is nothing more than a Stalin-like butcher shop in which infants are murdered and their parts are sold for profit. And the national government, Mr. President, should not be using tax revenue to fund these organizations. Their sole intent is to destroy the republic and all citizens that disagree with them. They are the very core of the national government's meanness, and so cutting all of their funding will not only help fund health care and perhaps provide our now wounded republic with a chance to heal, it will also stop their enthusiastic breeding of uneducated, amoral, and violent prone enemies of the republic. Lord knows, Mr. President, that the foregoing cuts cannot fund the economically ruinous national health care program that is on the table, but the cuts could be used for some funding for the health care program while at the same time draining from the national government behavior some of the hallmarks of its meanness and outright cruelty towards the citizenry. All we and you have is lemons, Mr. President, so you can only make the best of them. Go down the health care roll if you must, but limit the debt it adds to the current $20 trillion bottomless pit. Take the funds from ending the foregoing mean programs and use them for health care. And in doing so, you will also begin to cut back the immense meanness that has been inherent in the national government's treatment of its citizens for the past half century and more, and perhaps you might even restore what the founders argued was the key to maintaining the republic. That is a strong sense of popular affection for the national government. So that's that. So that being said, let me get what do we got? We got about a minute till break, 2 minutes. And then, Mike, yeah, I've set that clip up because I'm going to go ahead and play it after the break. Of course, we've got Chucky, our buddy Chucky Schumer, jumping into the mix about Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin, responding to statements from Secretary of State Rex Tillerson that President Donald Trump and President Vladimir Putin would like to move on from allegations that the Russians interfered with the 2016 election. Senate Minority Leader Charles Schumer called the move disgraceful. He said the president had a duty to press Putin about Russian hacking, but also an equal obligation to trust U.S. intelligence over the world of Russia's president. Let's see. It was back during the debates when Hillary Clinton came out and said, yes, 17 different U.S. intelligence agencies all confirmed that Russia was behind this. And I remember going into Julian Assange's WikiLeaks in the leaks that came out, and I'm reading an email from Bill Clinton to Hillary Clinton stating, use the Russian thing. The media bought it lock, stock, and barrel, or something to that effect last time. Which is exactly what she did. And this was, what, almost a year ago. Look what it is. Actually, it was a year ago. Look what this has blown into. We'll be back after the break. Have Mike set up that clip if he hasn't already. And we'll listen to Cynthia McKinney talk about what she had to do to toe the line with Israel. Or, well, we know what happened to her. She's now out of office. See you on the other side.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to aroutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutritious meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutraMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
I'm going to continue with Chucky Schumer bashing Tillerson about the Russian hacking. But first, let's go to Chris in California. Chris, you're on with Michael. How you doing?
Yeah, hi, Michael. This is Christopher. You know, that last caller was right on. That Talmud is a big encyclopedic 38 or more volumes. What you
well,
don't
send it to me then.
No, I'm not going to send it to you. But what I want to send to everybody here, you can get a quick synopsis on it by just going to either Start Page or Google, or you can even go to YouTube, and just type in protocols of the learned elders of Zion, and you'll get it all in a nut. Okay,
yeah.
Have you read that?
Yeah, I read it.
Pretty insulting, isn't it?
Yes, it is, absolutely. It's been a long time since I read it, but yes, I will agree with that. Go ahead.
I would urge all of your listeners just to take the easy route and get their hands on this and listen to this diatribe, you know, on Google, or on YouTube, or just read it, you know, yourself. But you can hear it can be audio voiced to you over YouTube, and you'll get all the dirt. Oh, they love us, and you know what their comeback is? They'll say, "Oh, it's a fraud."
No, well, I know. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, let me ask you something. How can you have something has to be genuine to begin with for there to be a fraud to it?
Yeah. No, I agree. I know it's not a fraud. But of course they have
fraud.
To. Well, you know, they have to delegitimize it. You know, if they didn't
absolutely.
Delegitimize it, what's that?
Oh, they, I was just going to say, oh, they just love you, and they love our Savior Jesus Christ. Oh, I mean, I'm being real sarcastic. They have him in a vat of excrement, burning in hell forever. I mean, this is just the, you know what it is? It's the oral tradition passed down by these so-called learned rabbis that say it's okay to sodomize your 3-year-old boy or girl if they're just goyim, you understand? See, people really need to look into the 2% or less that run this country and this world.
Well, I agree
they're
with you.
They're not your friends.
So anyway, okay, all right, I'm going to let you go, but folks, go into YouTube or Google the Protocols of Zion and read it for yourself. Thanks, Chris. I appreciate the call. Let's get back to this. I mean, as soon as I get through with this, I'm going to go ahead and play that clip that Pat in Arkansas sent me regarding Cynthia McKinney saying that she had to take an oath. So anyway, getting back to Schumer, he said, for Secretary Tillerson to say that this issue will remain unresolved is disgraceful. To give equal credence to the findings of the American intelligence community and the assertion by Mr. Putin is a grave dereliction of duty and will only encourage Russia to further interfere in our elections in the future, Schumer said in a statement Friday. They didn't interfere to begin with, but, you know, you guys have to keep perpetrating that lie, okay, because let's face it, that's the only thing you've got to hang on to. Tillerson, who sat in on the meeting between Trump and Putin, said Trump opened up the meeting asking Putin about the election interference and eventually talked about how to move on from the issue because the two countries will never agree on what happened. Working to compromise the integrity of our election process cannot and should not be an arena where agree to disagree is an acceptable conclusion, Schumer said. Congress and Americans of all political persuasions and parties should do all they can to increase sanctions on Russia and prevent the reduction of any sanctions by executive branch. Senator Robert Warner, Democrat from Virginia, the top Democrat on the Senate Intelligence Committee, put out a separate statement saying the reports that the president pressed Putin on the election hacking would have had much more force if Trump hadn't just questioned who was behind the attack and discredited U.S. intelligence in a speech the day before. While we proceed with our counterintelligence investigation, it is imperative that the Trump administration refrain from any effort to relax or rescind the sanctions already in place. They also cannot seek to undermine congressional action toughening sanctions in response to Russia's brazen assault on America's democracy, he said. What a load of crap. All right, let's shift gears. We're gonna go to the real truth now. Cynthia McKinney, very integral lady, was in Congress, as I'm sure all of you know. And let's just go ahead and play that clip and see what she has to say, Mike. Go ahead.
Not allowed to do that because I did not toe the line on U.S. policy for Israel.
What line is that they wanted? Were you told directly that you had to toe a line, or explain that to me?
Well, every candidate for Congress at that time had a pledge. They were given a pledge to sign. And I was new on the scene. And so the pledge had Jerusalem as the capital city, the military superiority of Israel.
American Congress people have to sign this pledge.
Yes, you sign the pledge. If you don't sign the pledge, you don't get money. So, for example, it was almost like water torture for me. My parents observed this. I would get a call, and the person on the other end of the phone would say, I want to do a fundraiser for you. And then we would get into the planning. I would get really excited because, of course, you have to have money in order to run a campaign. And then 2 weeks, 3 weeks into the planning, they would say, did you sign the pledge? And then I would say, no, I didn't sign the pledge. And then my fundraiser would go kaput.
So, I just want to get into this pledge a little bit more. So this is basically something that is mandatory, that every congressperson has to sign, saying that, what, Jerusalem, you said, is the capital of Israel, and what else?
You make a commitment that you will vote to support the military superiority of Israel, that the economic assistance that Israel wants, that you would vote to provide that.
This isn't a question for the congresspeople serving that they are representing, or they're supposed to be representing the people of the United States, not a foreign country, and yet they have to pledge allegiance
yes.
to a foreign state.
That's what
no
I
one
was,
questions this.
That's what I was asked to do. And I made it public. This probably nobody had said anything about it, but I made it public. And then, you know, the excuse was, well, you know, those were just overzealous advocates for Israel. So then the tactic changed. And but this is what is done for 535 members of the United States Congress. 100 senators, 435 members of the House of Representatives have to now write a paragraph, which basically says the same thing. So it's not a pledge, but it's a paragraph, and you post it, and, you know, there are these forums you have to go to at the synagogues or whatever. And then, you know, if you don't perform appropriately, then you don't get money to run your campaign. The problem is that it requires an awful lot of money to run a campaign. And whether it's a woman's organization, an environmental organization, people can read about this on the internet if they're interested. If you go to thomas.loc.gov, that is the official United States Congress website. And if you put in the name Gus Savage, because Gus Savage was a black member of Congress who was targeted by the pro-Israel lobby. And he had the foresight to use his position as an incumbent in the House of Representatives to put his experience on the congressional record for the entire existence of the United States Congress. Now, people will be able to access his experience. And what he wrote was that it was the Garden Club of New Jersey that gave his opponent $5,000. But it wasn't really the Garden Club of New Jersey. It was the activists who were associated with AIPAC, the okay. American Israel Public Affairs Committee.
Wow, unbelievable. But we're almost out of time, so I just want to get into a little bit of your personal experience now and what you're planning.
Okay, there you have it, folks. You heard it right from Cynthia McKinney's mouth. But, you know, going back to this whole, Sunday ceasefire in a part of Syria, you know, one of the callers brought up, and it's rather interesting because, yes, okay, they're going to have a ceasefire. But knowing what we know and knowing that, the clandestine group, whoever it may be in the deep state, is actually funding ISIS, who are they ceasefiring against? And that's where it gets a little dicey, you know. So they swear an allegiance to support Israel. And anybody who has ever read the Odin Yainan Project can see, and they can overlay a map of the expansion of Israel, which is what they've been wanting to do for a long time. Odin Yainan, and it goes all the way back to Theodore Herzl, I believe. God, this goes back for years. Anyway, if you overlay a map of the Odin Yainan Project over what's the destabilization of these countries in the Middle East, you know, it coincidentally and mysteriously is exactly what the map says on the Odin Yainan Project, which I did. And, you know, you get into these seven countries that is the travel ban that, you know, Trump has said, well, they're terrorists, they can't come here. That's the exact same seven countries that were outlined in the PNAC documents as to what we were going to overthrow in 5 years. So there's a bigger picture going on here. And I'm the first to admit, you know, I don't have all the answers, but, you know, I take a good look at this stuff and I say, okay, here's the question. Trump and Putin have agreed to have a ceasefire starting Sunday. Where specifically in Syria are they ceasefiring? And who specifically in Syria are they ceasefiring against? And a further question, does Trump really know? Is he that, in the loop, if you will, to know exactly what's going on? I'd like your thoughts on this. 800-313-9443, because, you know, this isn't scripted. I'm just throwing this out here as these thoughts come into my mind and saying, okay, all right, we're going to have a ceasefire. How long is the ceasefire going to be? And then somebody threw out the whole thing about Bashar al-Assad is, you know, I think it might have been Frank at Winnipeg, or bill, I don't know, that's talking about Assad stepping down. I don't see that happening, and I don't think that Vladimir Putin wants that to happen, because, you know, Vladimir Putin has said that they're in it as long as Syria is in it, as long as the forces are fighting, Russia is going to be their ally. And we know if Bashar al-Assad stepped down, we also know that the NATO or the United States, the deep state, is going to insert their own puppet in there, just like they did in Libya, just like they did in Iraq, just like they did in numerous other countries that they have gone in and illegally overthrown and killed, you know, going all the way back to Mossadegh in 1953. I mean, it goes on and on and on. This is their playbook. This is what they do. And, you know, it's sad that all of these years that this has been going on, and I'm as guilty as anybody else. I didn't wake up to this or start waking up to this till about 11 years ago. But if the public at large ever woke up, who was it? Was George H.W. Bush that said if the public knew what we were doing, they would hang us from the highest tree or tar and feather us or something along those lines? You know, if the public at large was aware, even one-tenth of the public at large was aware of what these people are doing, we would run them all out of town. We would hang them from the highest tree. We would tar and feather these people. But there's not enough of us that know, which takes me back to RBN being the beacon of truth. You know, folks, you know, the listening audience, you guys are, as the commercial that you hear every hour on the hour, about 20 after the hour, says, you are the most educated audience of any radio audience in the nation. You know that. Some of the callers that call in here with input, you guys are smarter than I am. You know, you guys are more dedicated to the history than I've been. You guys have deeply researched this stuff longer than I have. You know, and it's imperative to grow the listening audience. It's imperative to keep the numbers growing. It's imperative to keep the network flowing. It's imperative to keep this beacon of light showing. Because when a listener tunes in, I think I mentioned this not too long ago, a listener tunes into RBM, they either like us or they hate us. They get hooked really quick. Or they turn around and say, oh, those people are crackpots. They don't know what they're talking about. And those people are the ones that cannot be saved. They're the ones that have their heads sticking 3 feet in the ground, and they don't ever want to bring it up because they think the government is benevolent. They think the government's here to help. We're the government. We're here to help you. Oh, come on in. It's those people. But you know what? The good news is more and more people are starting to wake up. They've got that thing in their gut saying something's seriously wrong here, and so they start tuning in or trying to find another place to go other than hypnotizing news, just like I did 11 years ago when I got up off the sofa, walked over to the computer and started typing in search engines, just a whole myriad of different stuff. And it took me down a 2.5 month journey of which I was sickened by it. I woke up, it was like I died a death or I lost a loved one or something like that. That's what happens to you. Oh, who we got going up next? Fred in Louisiana? Fred, you're on with Michael. How are you doing? Oh, Fred in Iowa. Oh, hi, Fred. How are you doing? Hello?
Terrible.
You are? Why? It's your birthday, isn't it?
No, they're not.
Monday. Oh, no. You're feeling terrible? Go ahead. Hello?
You're being played.
I'm being played by who? Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Come on. I'm being played by who, Fred?
You've read the... the Jewish oath. Read the Jesuit oath. Read it. And I'm too upset to keep saying anymore. Have a good evening. Bye.
He's too upset. Okay. Well, all right. Whatever that meant, Fred. I'm being played. Now, you never told me who I'm being played by, because all of this input that's coming in here, I'm just reading, or I'm just playing what Cynthia McKinney said. I'm letting people have airtime to vent. But if you say, I'm being played, Fred, let's be clear on this. I've dived down the rabbit hole on the Jesuit thing, okay? And if that's what you're talking about, that I'm being played, then I have to disagree with you, sir, because I think that you're you're getting the idea that I'm one of those people that say, oh, the Jews, and I'm not, okay? The Jesuit thing, what was the guy's name? Years ago, there was a Greg Zizmansky, used to be a host on this network, and he was all about the Jesuits. And I didn't pay much attention to that for a long time until about a year ago I started taking a really deep look in it. And yes, there is not just something to it. There's a lot to it. So don't tell me I'm being played, Fred. I'm not being played, okay? Anyway, that being said, we've got a break coming up here in just a minute. So phone lines are still... Oh, you don't have a program for Fridays? Okay. No, anyway, I'm a little bit disappointed with Fred because, you know, he wouldn't elaborate and wouldn't tell me how he's being played. So I now have to assume what I think he means, which is wrong, Fred, by the way. Oh, really, Mike? Oh, I just got a message from Mike. Okay, well, we'll just leave it at that. Let's see. You know, here's some stuff that I didn't get to the other night. What the 66 budget cuts that Donald Trump inflicted or impugned or whatever he did. Education Department, he cut almost $5 billion out of the Education Department. Federal funding for the establishment of community learning centers that provide academic, artistic, and cultural enhancement opportunities for children, particularly students who attend high poverty and low-performing schools. Okay, that's gone. Comprehensive Literacy Development Grants. The purpose of the Striving Readers Comprehensive Literacy Discretionary Grants is to create a comprehensive literacy program to advance literacy skills, including pre-literacy skills, reading and writing for students from birth through grade 12, including limited English proficient students and students. Oh, that's interesting. Well, that's gone. Federal Supplemental Education Opportunity Grant is a grant that is awarded to students in need of financial aid. That's gone. It is a type of federal grant that is awarded college undergraduate program students and does not need to be repaid. That's gone. Now you got to repay it. Impact aid payments on federal poverty. Our mission is to promote student achievement and preparation for global competitiveness by fostering educational excellence and ensuring equal access, i.e. student loans. Really? Wow. That's gone? Okay. But that's a good thing, you know, because... You know, that's a good way to end this program. The student loan program, over $1 trillion that has been loaned out in student loans. It was a trap because it cannot be bankrupted. It was an enticement to, you know, pay to go to college. And the sad part about it is with the economy the way it is and the jobs going south and, you know, a lot of the jobs being taken by outsiders out of the country coming in for these jobs, it's increasingly more difficult for a college graduate to get a job. As a matter of fact, my daughter was a victim of this. My daughter got student loans, went to college, went all the way through and got a master's degree. And when she got out of college, when she finally graduated from college, her student loan debt was enormous. And everywhere she went to apply for a job, they told her, take master's degree off of your resume because you would have a better chance of getting a job without it because they see the master's degree and it's a threat to them. So you take it off and you have a better shot at getting a job. But the student loan cannot be bankrupted. It has to be paid back. And what happened over this period of time, which is over the last, 15, 20 years, is that telephone calls would come in from solicitors that entice you to go back to school. And I've gotten several of these calls over the years. Well, they sucked my daughter into this. And she took out a student loan. And what would happen was she went for a BA degree. And it took her, I can't remember how long it was. But they kept sucking her in and sucking her in and sucking her in to a point where, oh, you've got a bachelor's degree. Well, now you should continue to go for it and really get your education up there to where you have a master's degree. And then they take that a step further and get you up to a PhD. And they suck you into the debt with a lot of these colleges, some of them online colleges, that are charging you enormous amounts of money. and they're non-competitive. In other words, you know, you can find a college that is a lot less in the tuition that you happen to be paying for, and you don't find out until it's too late. So she has a student loan debt that is a six-figure debt, and she has a job, okay, but it's not in the it's not with – let's put it this way. It's below the credentials that she has. Yet she faces the student loan that must be paid back at some point in time, and it is non-bankruptable. How many children, how many students, how many college graduates are now living in their parents' basement? Because after all that and after all of the money that was added up with the student loans, they couldn't get a job. They can't afford to live, and they still live in their parents' basement. It's in the millions, folks. It's in the millions. And then what was the latest figure I heard? I think I heard it on John's show. There is 102 million Americans that are currently now receiving some sort of government assistance. 102 million. Yet the unemployment rate is 4.6%. Does that make any sense to you? Doesn't make any sense to me. 102 million Americans that are drawing either disability, Social Security, Medicaid, Medicare, food stamps, some sort of government doling, and that is one-third of the entire population, or pretty close to it, of this country, yet the unemployment rate is 4.6%. I kind of equate that to, you know, what they said, the total amount of people that died in Iraq, 4,792 soldiers died during the Iraq War, but they never tell you how many of those contractors died during the Iraq War, huh? So, you know, 4.6%, that's the people that they count. That's the people that are still drawn unemployment, not the ones that have exhausted their unemployment and don't have any place to go. So those people as well are in their mother's and father's basements. Or they're out on the street, or the people that you see sleeping under a tree, or they're the people out there on the freeway or on the, you know, on the on-ramp with a sign out there saying, please help, I'm out of food. You see that more and more and more. I don't know about where you folks live, folks, but I see them all over the place. I can't get off an exit to a freeway where I won't see somebody standing there with a sign. It's rampant, and it's getting worse. I can't go to the grocery store at this time of the night. Usually I'll go to the grocery store a couple of nights a week right after I get off the air, and every time I go to Fry's, I will see at least two, three, maybe sometimes four or five of them that are with their backpack on or their bicycle or their little shopping cart that's full of stuff, you know, that they'll loiter in front of the grocery store until the – actually, Fry's actually hired a security guard to get rid of them. And I tried to infiltrate them, actually. Story for another day. We're out of time. Have a good weekend, folks. I'll see you next week. I'll be on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Then Eric's going to take over while I go back to the Midwest. So stay out of trouble, and I'll see you Monday. With doubt, there's nothing left for me to figure out. I've paid a price, and I'll keep paying.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it. at aroutfitting.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.